Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 589, recorded live on January 22nd, 2025. I'm your host, Dustin.
I am producer in training, Tony.
Okay, and I'm just Kelly. I'm one of the OGs.
Yeah.
You're
the most important OG. Are you kidding?
No, not the most important. What did I say?
You were always my favorite.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I have to tell you this story. Can I quickly say something?
Of course.
So it's been a rough month. I've had several people that have been important to me pass away. Anyways, So I went to a funeral on Monday. So it's now Wednesday. So 2 days ago. And one of the funeral was for somebody who I grew up with in Germany and was a really cool guy. Anyways, he moved back to Ontario in Trenton, so he's just an hour away. And we would get together, and the group of us would all get together, and we'd hang out, and we'd have beer and bratwurst and just, you know, hang out. And but he was a big supporter of our community. He loved guns. As a kid, he was the kid that would actually just, you know, take out the rifle and he'd shoot squirrels and different things. And he just loved guns. Anyways, so I was talking to his girlfriend, his partner. Well, no, actually, they got married. So I was talking to her and she said, Barry really loved listening to Slamfire Radio, and he would have it turned up really, really loud. And I'd tell him to turn it down. And he goes, no, Kelly's on and she needs to make a point. I want to listen to it. And anybody who was part of the community or anybody he talked to that was interested in guns, he goes, you got to listen to Slamfire Radio. And so when Sherry was introducing me around to everybody, she said, this is Kelly. She was a friend of Barry's, but she's on Slamfire Radio. If you like guns, you should go listen to it. So we have a couple of new listeners probably that are happening tonight and in the near future. So, yeah. It was kind of cool. Anytime that anything was happening with the OIC or with Shooto, he'd send me a message or a post on my wall and say, you know, we got to overturn this. And he was a member of the CCFR, and it was really cool. Anyways,
that was really cool.
Yeah, that was what's happened on Monday. So, yeah, shut up. I'm listening to Kelly. She has a point to make.
It's
not untrue.
Yeah. No, I have to say, that was always my feelings as well. I thought you brought a really nice balance to the show, which was great.
Thanks.
So that's true. I mean, you're the one that got me into Maple Seed, like. Encouraged some of my like rifleman discipline stuff, like that all came from you, which I really appreciate. I pass that on to this day. That clicker, you know, trigger click, I have passed that on to many, many people as far as just practicing their trigger pull. So yeah
that's really cool.
That is unrealistically light trigger though.
It's a good practice point though, like as far as like helping people find like where that shelf is and like all of that, and for like new folks especially, because like I bring a lot of new people to the range, and I've found that to be just a really, really quick way of helping, like, you know, they'll shoot a little bit and be like, okay, this isn't working. Yeah, all right, let's put the guns away for a second. Here, take this pen. But for real, that works.
Yeah, it's super cheap too, right?
Yeah. I've got like a bunch of pens in my giant range bag for exactly that reason.
It's the smooth trigger pull. And then you really do have to shoot, because then you have to figure out, you know, your own trigger, the weight, the pull. Yeah. get comfortable with that. It's like trigger yoga, like we like to say.
I need like a ounce level trigger, like every time I'm shooting bench with my 60x and it's like it's not releasing. Ugh.
All right. Well, let's start with what we did in guns. What we did in guns this week is not sponsored by anybody. If you'd like to sponsor one of our segments, please send an email to slampireradio@gmail.com. And Adriel and Kyle are off in Vegas having a fun time. If I hadn't booked work this week and next, I would be there with them. So you know what? We haven't seen Kelly in all year. What have you done?
I haven't been on since before Christmas. It's been a crazy, as I said, there's been a lot that's been going on in my personal life as well as work life. So I just haven't had the opportunity or the chance to get on. But I have done stuff with guns too. So super exciting is I did a club level ATT course. Handgun course. So brought in a couple of new shooters that have handguns. There was only five of them, but still five more than there was before, right? I did that with Kelly Kincaid, and it was super fun because we do everything together. And this time it was really good. The last time I did it, we had a lot of people who had to reshoot. And I'm not a tough person, but we just needed 10 shots on paper at 10 yards. So figure that out. This time, no reshoots, just got through everything quick and easy. And then we went out and shot. The other thing we did too was, so successful hunts this year. We got more deer closer to the end of the season with the bow, a crossbow. So Anna McIntosh, just want to give a huge shout out to her. She's the VP for women's programs. She took over for me in the CCFR. So she was able to take her first deer this year. It was a buck, with a crossbow. And Kyle/Kelly Kincaid were also successful with a buck, and I was successful with a buck as well. So there we had three deer this year that we prepped. So did that close to New Year's. It was quite cold, and we were able to prep those deer and get them. We processed it. We processed all of them, so we didn't take them to the butcher to process it all. We just made sure that everything was done. And we got some lots and lots and lots of meat for the freezer this year. So that was exciting. But all of us had doe tags. None of us used them this year.
But you shot a quote unquote doe.
I thought it was a doe,
it's a button buck.
Yeah, so.
But regardless. You did shot. Well, I guess that's. Gun season is separate from bow season, Ontario? Okay.
So we have the seasons, the way they work is this. Right. So we have bow, then we have rifle, then we have a black powder, and then we have crossbow or bow. So that's the way that it rounds out. And it ends just as New Year's is about to start too. So, and
you have such a long season. We don't get that here. I'm so jealous.
Ours, but it's, go ahead.
No, I was going to say ours cuts off right at the end of December.
Yeah. So it's dependent on where you are in Ontario as well. Like Southwestern, there's some areas of Southwestern where you can only use shotgun. And where I live, we can use rifle, shotgun, bows, crossbows, any of them. So
I had to try the bow thing once. I was definitely envious seeing all the pictures of you guys processing all of your deer. That was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. Got to hang out with obviously people that I really like and got to have fun and feel really, really comfortable, especially from these are women, right? We're all women and we're processing. So it was really cool. The other thing that I did was it's annual. Every year we try and get to the range on January 1st, which we did this year. It was a little colder than previous years, I was gonna say. Normally we shoot outside, and I've shot on January 1st where all I needed was just actually a sweater.
What temp?
This one we were in the minus, I think 15, 16. So it's a little cooler.
Doesn't seem that cold.
Cold.
So we decided that we were just going to shoot in the indoor range. So we took over
We haven't had Kelly internet for a while.
Had invited a bunch of people out and we did some nuts.
Just pause for a second, Kelly. I think let your internet catch up.
Yeah, it seems like it. It's all good. So able to get out, shoot pistol. I was able to get out and shoot my rifles too. I traded out my I did a turkey shoot too. I didn't do as well as I thought. I hoped. I was I was shooting to the right of the target just a little bit. Kyle Kincaid won this one, so congrats to him. I had to trade out some things in my rifle too, so I didn't really zero after I changed some things out. So, and what else? The calendar, the CCFR Gunny Girl calendar is out. I need to talk to you guys. Every single one of you need to send me your details for mailing because you all get it. That's part of the perks of being one of the co-hosts on Slam Fire Radio. You get a free calendar. Go and register it, and then you'll win prizes. Just ask Adriel because he.
That's last year's. The new one needs to go there. It's saving a spot. I have registered every year. I remember the year Adriel won like two of the things, and I think I bought like three calendars that year that I gave away, but I definitely registered them because my family wasn't gonna. but I didn't win anything. I've never won anything, but I will still register.
Perfect.
I remember there was always a quorum about don't register them yet. Register them later.
So the rules are this, right? Because you still have a calendar. It's a 13-month calendar.
Yeah.
So for previous years, so for December 2024 was still in effect, right? So the draw would be for that. So we always say for the upcoming year, you have to actually register it after January 1st, and that way you'll be eligible for it. Because we still want to give people the opportunity to win that are part of the previous year. And there was some logistics around it too. And it was, it's a lot of work. I'm just going to say it's a lot of work. This calendar is pretty freaking awesome. It comes with a poster as well that you can, two-sided poster, just the same as last year. It says firearms rights are, what is it?
Women's rights. Yeah, that's right.
Because it's
woman program, right?
Yeah, and it's two-sided calendar or poster, so you can hang it up. It's no date on it and all that. And on the other side, there's the how do you say B-side photos from all the girls. And then not all the really cool, but the cool photos are in the calendar itself. This year was fantastic. We had a boat. We had an airplane as props. We had all kinds of really cool stuff.
You guys have come a long way with that. Like I think I took pictures on the first or you second did. One. You I took don't it remember. On the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys have come such a long way from that, and I wish I could have been to some of these places where these shoots were going on. It looked like fun.
Yeah, well, one was just on the island. Yeah.
Yeah. Next time you come out here, maybe I'll pop out to the island. You also have to come for a visit. You come to BC and you don't come for a visit, I'll be sad.
I'm planning on a shoot in BC this year. So I went to Edmonton or Alberta last year, as well as New Brunswick and PEI. And that for ladies' seats, right? Maple seats. So this year I've committed to fly out to BC and do it. So, yay!
Awesome. So you have to give me your sandwich order.
So we're still debating on who won this
year. Who won? That's the thing.
I do think it was Ontario. And we shot later into the year.
Somehow Ontario internet doesn't win. It's very odd.
Although I'm not getting a tuna fish. No, it's weird. I think it's because we're so populated. A tuna fish.
tuna fish. That's what I thought. Yes, I remember it's tuna.
Yeah. I was expecting in the mail.
In the mail? No.
Yeah, you got to stick. Like, I remember there's a tradition to stick all the weird stickers on it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's about it for me. Obviously, I got some stuff going on with Maple Seed. Just trying to, there's a lot of logistics for that. I had a call for the directors, our annual director board meeting. We're going to have another one, actually, because we didn't have enough to have our annual. But the other thing, too, is she shoots. So last Tuesday, we had our first episode for season 4 for She Shoots. And we had a couple of guests on that were on our show a couple of months ago. So we had Jess Titchler as well as Paige Kloster on to talk about the worlds and how they did and moving forward with competitive shooting Canadians going out into, you know, international and shooting PRS. Super, super fun. We have some really cool guests that are lined up. We have International Women's Day that's going to be happening in March. So She Shoots will be at those as well. So there's going to be one happening in BC, one happening in Calgary, and one happening here in Ontario.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So lots of fun. And that's it for me. Okay. So howdy from Las Vegas. Hi, Adriel. I'm surprised you're listening and watching and not Three Sheets to the Wind.
Probably Three Sheets to the Wind, I'm sure. But it's still nice to know that you're there, Adriel. We haven't screwed up. Just don't watch the first 5 minutes of the show.
I can always cut it.
Yeah, of course. Tony, what did you do in Guns this week?
So a few things. I guess I'll put my face up here. We talked about Runkle's Kydex rifle last week, and his rifle is chambered in 300 Norma mag, which I think only some, I don't know why I was looking it up. First, 300 Norma mag is not 308 Norma mag. Like, don't name your stuff like that, Norma. That's bad. Don't do it. Second is, learn from Remington or something. Remington Ultra Mag or, I don't know, something like that. I think there is a U.S. military contract for some of them that's chambered in the sister calibers, 300 Norma Mag and then 338 Norma Mag, which is kind of a competitor to the 338 Lapua Mag, which is what we are more used to, I guess, in the military world of things. For example, the L115 Accuracy International Arctic Warfare, things like that. So I was thinking about that, and I was shooting the idea to Ronco. It's like, what if you just rechamber it to 330 Lapua? Is that going to be a little bit better? So I think he's going to consider that. We'll see if that idea is feasible to him. It's not a ton cheaper, but it's a lot more common, the component. I guess bullets is going to be slightly more expensive. Kyle's jumping on, I see. Cool. And for 338 Lapua, you get a little bit more power too. Or a rechamber to 300 Win Mag, which I checked briefly on reloading manuals just because 300 Norma Mag is so rare. There isn't a lot of load data for it, but I don't see the 300 Nora being superior comparing to the Win Mag. But I think 338 Lapua and 338 Norma and then 300 Norma uses the same magazine pattern, like the 338 magazine pattern, and then Win Mag is actually slightly shorter. Just some suggestions because, wow, pulling a trigger. One bill of Queen Elizabeth for one trigger pull, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's spendy, hey?
that's how I think about it, too, because the exchange ratio from Canadian dollar to Chinese yuan is about 1 to 5, and 100 Chinese bills is the biggest we got. So it's like, kids in me is like, that is quite a bit. And again, 50 BMG full metal jacket right now is like $6 a shot. Yeah. So like, holy crap, that's a lot for not 50 BMG. I also have another friend who has a black powder rifle. Now I understand what is a flash in a pan.
Oh.
I guess really? English plus.
Oh, cool.
So what we're trying to see is, I was talking to Adriel about it too, is usually for priming powder, that's a flintlock, so it's not a percussion cap gun. For a flintlock, you usually want to use, as indicated on the Canadian Firearm Safety Program, quad F or 4FG powder as the priming powder, but they are very uncommon because they're pretty much only good for priming. They're not really used for anything else. So I'm researching, like, what are the options for priming with coarser powder? And I actually saw quite a few videos about priming with powder that's in your main charge, in your main propellant charge. So I've seen people prime with 2Fs, which is kind of aggressive at that point. Like, you're into hang fire, not slam fire, hang fire territories. And like, it seems that if you use black powder substitutes, hang fire risk increase as well. So if you're using double FG black powder substitutes, you're going to have even worse hang fire risk. Maybe for a range gun, it doesn't matter as much. I don't believe my friend is going to hunt with it. So we'll see how it goes. But all in all, another note is, for storage, propellant and black powder, both in US and in Canada, have different storage requirements. You cannot keep as much black powder as you can keep propellant. For example, reloading powder or black powder substitute. So keep that in mind, especially if you're in Canada, if you're in an attached building, for example, apartment, I think there is a pretty stringent limit, like
five
pounds or something.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. Went into Cabela's to reject my rifle, which is pretty unfortunate, but that gun came way too late and they wasn't willing to honor a price match on it. The whole process is a little lengthy, but not too difficult all in all. Basically, what they wanted to do is, despite me not having possession of that firearm, I need to quote-unquote sell it back to Cabela's, not from the financial standpoint, but from the RCMP standpoint, basically. So I went up there, I went to the main desk. They said, okay, go to the gun counter. The gun counter says, well, go to the main desk. Okay, so whole thing. And they were asking me if I have my banking information. It's like, I bought it on a credit card, which is it's a little odd to me, but what they, in fact, is talking about is how to log into RCMP. And I guess because Cabela's, how their customer base is, probably see more hunters than shooters who buy a gun, hunt it for 50 years, and, you know, move on. So I guess they don't do gun trading or buying, selling things too often. So what they're really looking for is my GC key, which I log in with my GC key, not my banking information. Anyway, so it's funny because they're surprised how fast I can do it on my phone, just because I'm pretty familiar. It's like, I know I'm going to enter my password a billion times. It's fine. I got this. But I visited their secret office in their secondhand, gun gallery. And it's basically the office where you would, if you wanted to, you can sell back, well, not necessarily back, but you can sell firearms to Cabela's. I think either on, what's the commission thing?
Oh, like on consignment?
On consignment?
Consignment, there you go. I think they can either do consignment or they can just pay you out for it. So yeah, it's kind of funny. I have to do the whole thing. I didn't even get to touch. I see it because they have to re-verify the serial number and everything, but I didn't even touch it. And it's funny because I pretty much met everyone in the store, but I didn't see a Benny in store. So Benny, you got to tell me what your working hour is so I can meet you in person, because I told you I'm going to be there usually near closing hours on a weekday and you are not there. So if you talk to your colleagues, shout out to Raf, who helped me out there. I think it's one of their most senior employees, but If you talk to your colleagues and they know of a person who returned a Savage 110 with very speedy GC key inputs, that would be me.
Wow.
I guess it's pretty uncommon for people who have access to GC key do it very fast to sell back guns.
A lot of people aren't selling back their guns.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's what we're getting at there. He didn't put in his hours, so I went and just checked the email. So,
no, I don't think he did. I'm doing some more 308 reloads. I can't wait to shoot the Savage again. And I have the Kempro bullets, which I didn't use last time. I used the Spear soft point bullets. And then I have something pretty special. Ryan Muckinghern of Vortex Optics kind of turned me onto these. I was always curious because when I first got my gun and we started thinking, okay, I got a shotgun so I can do small game hunting, but I don't want to become dumb because I know ingesting lead have consequences. I was like, okay, well, shots, you have steel shots. Done.
Yeah.
But do you have not lead bullet? In fact, they do. So this is Barnes TSX. There's more ammo manufacturer that's making different types of pure copper projectiles or copper alloy projectiles. I think Hornady has one, the CX. This is a TSX. They also have a TTSX for the tipped the ballistic tipped one. This is actually the wrong bullet for the job, for the application. This is the 165 grain 308 caliber. For 308 Winchester, I believe you are supposed to use the 168. There's a slightly different design to the ogive, so you reloaders out there will understand maybe. So if you are looking at reloading 30 caliber TSX, go on Barnes' website and they will tell you what the difference is. I believe one is more recommended for 308 and one is more recommended for 300 Win Mag. I don't think these are going to perform horribly, but just a note out there. And I've been doing most of my loads on the progressive. So that will be the Lee Auto Drum Powder Measure. So I'm actually going to use, I had this for a while, this is the Lyman, very nice cast. I forgot if it's aluminum or steel. I think aluminum, but cast powder trickler. So I can weigh my charges. I know with the auto powder measure isn't off by much. It's about plus or minus 0.2, I want to say. It's not as good as usually some people say plus or minus 0.1. I don't see that. I see a plus minus 0.2. So that was able to give me was my reloading process, which again, isn't anything amazing. Not match grade bullets, soft point bullets, not match grade brass. About 2 MOA out of the Savage. So I'm going to try and see. Again, these are not match grade either, but maybe I can push something better out of the copper bullets. We'll see. Two more things. BTSA, we did the AGM. We have, from a statistics standpoint, we had quite a few new shooters from the Shooting Edge. So if you're from the Shooting Edge and you're a member of BTSA now, don't be shy. Come out to events. If you don't want to shoot, come out and watch. It'll be a lot of fun things for you to do. And last thing is about the PR, out of battery discharge. They did email me back again. Maybe I missed the email in the middle. I think that's how the communication is written so far. They're asking for some photos of the upper. I'm guessing they're trying to assess how much damage, if the firearm's still safe to operate. I haven't responded yet. Oops. But well, tonight, and we'll see that. Again, it's wintertime. It's not really prime shooting season, but I do want to get it assessed and sorted out, and we'll see how Troy responds to it. But so far, they haven't ghosted me, so that's all good.
That's awesome.
Cool.
And yeah, I did not have, I've been super busy, so there hasn't been tons and tons of time for guns, but I did go out and have a range day with a good buddy of mine. Got to shoot SIG P320 Akimbo because he bought the exact same gun I did from like the last batch of legal SIG 320s right before the ban. I think we got them like 2 weeks before the ban happened. So yeah, so, well, both of us took turns being incredibly inaccurate with dual wielding 320s, which was fun. But single arm, I'm still pretty good. I still need to tighten up my handgun game. I think that's going to be a focus this year, since that's what I can focus on. That and yeah, maybe explore PRS. We'll see. Been drooling over SHOT Show. I don't know what all the hate for PSA is, because it looks like they've got some cool things.
Skip that. That's the main topic.
We'll talk about it. I'm just saying I've been drooling over some cool things from them. Prepped for some onset days. Spent a couple of days this week already doing some prep for that, and just got some onset days coming at the end of the week here, and then most of next week as well. That's why I'm not in Vegas right now. Sigh. But I get to play with guns, so I can't really complain. And because I missed last week, which sucked because I wanted to chat with Runkle, I chatted with him anyway. And we had a good conversation, some good back and forth. He's encouraging some bad financial decisions. We'll see. We'll see if that happens, if I end up with a Thompson this year or not. But that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I hope we have him back on soon. I really would love to chat with him. Yeah, well, it sounds like we're going to have to. Congrats, Ian. Well, maybe we'll give him a shout out at the end of the show. But yeah, that's all I did. Literally haven't done any reloads or anything crazy. Just been kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off. It's been a really busy couple of weeks. And yeah, so that's just the three of us. I guess I'll shift this right on to upcoming events.
Cool.
And again, what do we got?
We have a few HGG farm training programs coming up. Restricted for the 26th, which is when Adriel returns, is still available. Three spots, February 8th and 9th at Devon. So non-restrictive day one, restricted day two. February 22nd, 23rd at Showa Park. And moving on to March, more courses available.
And Kelly, there's a couple things here for you, Maple Seeds and signings.
Yeah, so Maple Seeds are not on the website yet. So people are, all of the regions are planning, by the way. Ontario booked ours before Alberta, just saying. but they'll get onto the calendar. I have signed range agreements back from Ontario, so I do know that we booked beforehand. So just first, I have to say it. We do have a calendar signing that's happening this weekend. It's in Waterloo at Shooter's Choice. It's going to be from 10:30 to 12 noon. So Saturday, January 25th, if you're not aware of what date it is this Saturday. So if you have a calendar, you can go and get our girls to sign it, Gunny Girls to sign it. There's going to be a few there. Some past Gunny Girls as well as some current Gunny Girls. And then also go and buy some stuff at Shooter's Choice. Every time I go around and do the tour with the signings, I always buy stuff at each and every. I spend a lot of money when we do the signings. I kind of recognize that now. but I always love to support those that support us. The other thing too, if you don't have a calendar, you can pick one up there, because we do have calendar supplies that are available. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is, it was somebody recently posted, they were wondering about National Range Day that's going to be happening this year, where to get the stuff for it. Should start planning now. It's January, and National Range Day, it's always the same day. It's the first Saturday of June. So if you or your club are interested, go to nationalrangeday.ca and go and get the stuff there, because it's already populated in there, and you can, you know, start, you know, planning. So yeah, that's everything that I wanted to talk about.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, beyond that, yeah, SHOT Show is still going on. I'm sure everybody's enjoying that. There's going to be lots of discussion when Adriel and Kyle get back.
Yeah.
So moving on to the news, Tony, I'm going to let you open these things. If you want to drive, I can talk. What's the Facebook link one?
Let me check real quick.
You put them in here.
I did not put the Facebook one in here.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't seem to be available right now. We might need to do a follow-up on that on Discord.
Let's skip to the fact-check liberal gun ban. You want to talk about this?
I didn't put that one in there.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, did you put any of these in here?
I did.
So the person who put them in isn't on today. So,
of course.
Awesome. And we can't click on the hyperlinks. Wonderful. So maybe we can look at them for next time.
Yeah, maybe.
I believe YouTube is pushing this to me too. But there's this video about fact checking liberal gun bans. I'll send that into the Discord as well, so you can watch for that. I see CCFR commenting on that, so must be a good one.
Yeah, the one other one, I know you put this one in here because
this one put in. Let me share my screen.
Yeah, woman shot in targeted incident outside Markham home by suspect in construction vest, police say. We obviously can't show the video. Watch the video. Wow, this is Canada? Like, are we in the right place? Is this the dark timeline? Because I don't know if anybody hasn't watched this. Like, absolutely wild. I don't know what kind of targeted attack this was, but this guy like showed up at this, you know, lady's house wearing a, you know, a vest. Looks like it's the old adage, like if you're wearing a high vis vest and you've got a clipboard, you can get in anywhere. And it looks like he had a conversation with her for a while.
It's kind of insane. I don't know how this happened, but I didn't watch the whole thing, but I'm guessing because of the gate, it's probably some kind of a
higher end community.
And yeah.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I don't know about there, but like here, half the houses have gates, like this sort of that sort of situation. But like, I don't know, it's just absolutely wild watching the video because he talked with her for a while, and then finally she like walks in, he's behind her and shoots her in the back. It's like, thankfully it looked like he had some malfunctions go on with the gun. I think she's okay.
I think she is in critical condition in a hospital right now. So that's the fortunate part. A single gunshot wound, which
he had
marksmanship not included. Probably gun maintenance not included either, but I guess
it's a good thing for
the bad guys.
It looked like a small gun and it's cold, right? So small gun, it's cold, plus that person probably
and he's wearing gloves. But besides that, the reality is I don't think that he's a legal gun owner. So
I'm going to guess that that little, little short barrel handgun that he's got isn't legal in Canada. Yeah. We can move on in
not
a second. I'm just
that it's practiced.
It's mind blowing that has become the norm, you know. And I don't know. That's crazy. Anyway, moving right along. New gun stuff. This sponsor spot is also vacant. Again, if you would care to sponsor a segment, please feel free to send us an email at slamfireradio@gmail.com. Tony, is this stuff all new or did Adriel populate this? And I don't know.
You didn't put anything on here?
I got told I'm in charge 2 seconds before we rolled. So,
there's something called a show document that shows you're supposed to be a host last week. I had to jump in for that.
But I wasn't here.
Okay, guys, stop arguing.
Okay. This one.
Yeah, news, Smith & Wesson, no lock revolvers.
I think, what hole was it called? Is it a Clinton band? So it's like, the revolver was a frame lock on it. What was it called?
I don't know.
So I'm thinking it doesn't have that anymore.
Okay.
So now, I think some people are really pissed off because they have a keyhole on it.
I can understand that.
Stuff coming. Okay, I straighten these guys out. Posture okay, straighten out.
I don't know if I'm capable of being straight. I tried.
Oh god. The jokes just
tried went it once didn't 40, work
40 yeah chess.
All right, let's look at this EO tech. I'm more interested in this.
Three to nine. It's a tiny, tiny little 3 to 9. So
I did see this. I'm interested in this.
The voodoo, yeah. Not
cheap, you know what?
Golly.
It
does come with a ring mount, so it's
yeah, I know much... somebody who works there and develops EOTEX. We should have him on the show. What do you think?
That would be really cool. I would love to talk to someone from EOTEX. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
All your standard EOTEX features, of course, fog resistant, shock proof, da, 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 da. It's, the thing is, it's lightweight, it's tiny for a 3.9 second focal plane. Mm. And then you have a ride on top EFLX red dot on top for your quick target acquisition. Made in Japan.
Yes. I watched a couple of videos on this. This is like an optic. I know it's super expensive, but I would legitimately put this on a couple of different guns that I have. Like, this would be a cool thing to get, I think. I really, really love the, like, having a little red dot on top, just like for quick acquisition, and then having that distance in an optic that you know isn't going to break. Look, I run a lot of Vortex stuff and a lot of things that, you know, cheap and cheerful. But this I'm interested in.
Sounds like me.
Right? Cheap and cheerful.
I'm trying to think. For 3.9, it is expensive, but it is made in Japan. How much does a made in Japan 3.9 cost? Second is really the form factor. It's tiny.
Yeah, but it's an EOTEC and everything that comes with it and the specs and the, even if it's made in Japan. I'm going to tell you that a lot of optics and a lot of lens, like glass, is made in Japan now.
Yeah.
I know. Made in Japan is a good thing. Made in Japan.
I thought you were poo-pooing on it.
No. Made in China, not good.
It's true. Yeah. It's just, the Japanese make great glass. Like they do. That's a thing. It's really, really hard to make good glass. It takes a lot of effort. So I think this was probably the coolest optic I've seen pop up in like the SHOT Show feeds for the last week or two. And not that I'm like itching to spend $1,000 US on a new optic, but
$1,500, and then you got to add the Canadian royalty on top of that.
Don't ruin things for me.
Okay? Two grand.
I'm going to buy it used.
Reality is often disappointing.
Wait, I'm just going to say wait for the next gen, though.
Yeah, that's one thing. I've stopped being an early adopter of things. I get excited, and then I buy the first of a thing, and then I realize I should have bought the third version of a thing.
You do know it's beta testing the first version, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Oh, goodness.
Forget all the kinks.
Yeah, BCL has definitely let me beta test a few of their products.
Hi, you're made in Canadian. Not very good either.
No,
not good.
It's not that they're not very good. It's just, you know, when you're making a new thing and making small quantities, you aren't going to get it right the first time.
And when you're also changing things for a market that's ever challenging or changing. So yeah. you have to adapt or change something, and it's maybe something that's not available, and you're machining a part that is specific, right? Preparatory for that.
It was a BCL 102, though. That wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't too difficult, was it? Now
I'm just gonna say, you know, the BCL 102 and anything else that is black, you know, we don't have to worry about right now, at least until a new election. And but yeah, and Canada, I'm just going to say, Tony, I have to argue with you. Kelly's making a point. Canadian manufacturers of firearms, there's some really, really good ones. Quality.
KDAX.
KDAX, Colt Canada, PGW. Well,
that's the thing, though. It's in the U.S.
Let Kelly make a point. Hang on.
Okay, let Kelly make a point. I have a counterpoint, though.
Okay, there's always going to be something that's a piece of shit, though. Like, there will be, right? But that being said, Canadians put out product that is actually world-class. Like, MDT chassis, right? They're Canadian. And they're sold all over the world. And it's quality stuff. It's some of the best chassis on the market. And we look at... Go ahead.
when you're making things, so that's the one thing too. So like, I actually don't poo-poo BCL, like the 102, the first generation. I had one. It wasn't perfect. It was heavy, but it was actually a good gun. I hunted with that thing for a few years. And beyond it being a little bit heavy, I had a good one. It operated well. But when you're trying to make things to a price point, that's hard. But for a company like Kadex or anybody who's making things that's a little bit higher end, you can afford to put the time and the QC into making sure it's perfect. And we do really good stuff in Canada when you're operating at that level.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just BCL is inconsistent. It's not their stuff never works. It's just it's inconsistent.
Yeah, it's because they're making it to a price point and making it on the fly sometimes.
My counter argument to that is it's funny because in the States, it's like GI issue is here. And then you have your boutique builder here. In Canada, it's the other way around. Like, the military-grade stuff is good. We know that.
Good-ish.
Go, Canada. You can buy a C8. It will work. It will work good.
We're just going to move on. Nothing's good enough. Nothing's too good for the Canadian military, as they say, right?
Yeah, ask about the sleeping bags.
Listen, sleeping bags, love the sleeping bags. The old ones.
The old ones, not the new ones.
Oh my God, anyways, this is gorgeous.
It's a gun show. Okay.
So let's talk about PSA, because PSA is our main topic.
Well, in a sense, because they have the most to offer at SHOT Show so far. I believe more photos will be released next week when the two hosts are back and they will show us more stuff. They did went to a Prairie Fire shooting. What would you call that? Range day, I guess.
Prairie Fire Range Day.
So you will see footage of that on both the Slamfire channel and the Hunting Gear channel.
I cannot get over that 50 cal suppressed. It sounded like my cat sneezing. That's what it sounded like. It was just like it was wild. I wish I could have been recording the audio from that, because that was just a cool sound.
It'll still blow your eardrums out, I bet.
No, it was suppressed. No, it was suppressed. Sneezing.
No, there's nothing.
I wouldn't try it.
Okay.
Anyway.
I would, because you know why? It's fun and it's illegal to do it here in Canada.
No. I mean, saying I wouldn't do it without Air Pros. That wouldn't.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Kyle said nope. Nope to what? Like, as in, it wouldn't blow your eardrums out?
That's correct. Yes. We're going to say that's what Kyle's agreeing to.
Okay, cool.
So Kyle and Tony's Adriel wrong. Are commenting. They're not on the show, but they're the only ones watching.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
I think it's hilarious and fun. Thanks for joining, guys.
We miss you.
Yes.
He would do it without AirPods. Cool.
All right. I'll trust him as the only guy who can, you know, play around with suppressors legally.
So how many of you have shot 50 cal BMGs?
I have.
How many of you have shot suppressed?
Suppressed, yes. Not 50 cal, but I've shot suppressed.
Okay.
Yeah. At the time I entered the sport, I think all the 50s are, they're already illegal.
Oh.
All the ARs too. Well, I shot AR because I was in the States, but that's a different issue.
Well, if you're in the States, you get to shoot fun things.
All right. Okay. So PSA runs a great social media platform too. So you'll see a lot of their new stuff on.
Oh. I guess we got bad Alberta internet too.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
He can't give you a hard time anymore.
No, Tony.
He's just gone.
He's frozen.
I want
the tundra, the frozen tundra of Alberta.
Can I just for the sake of I'm bad.
You can do whatever you want.
All right. Well, he's in control of this for the moment.
Palmetto arms, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and open this up because I don't know when he's coming back.
They always bring so much to SHOT Show, and
it becomes hard to keep track of. But I thought that they did a really good job this year with I liked this list. I don't know if you watched the video that went along with it. There was like a 10 or 15 minute long video. Here's the 10 major things that we brought to SHOT Show, or that we're bringing to SHOT Show. Let's see if I can share this. Can I talk and chew bubblegum at the same time?
Yes.
Present. Oh, no. Sorry, bear with me, everybody. All Kyle and Adriel. Where are we?
There somebody else has joined. Look at that. We got another.
Hey. One. All right. Hey. Did that work? Is that working? That's working. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So you brought it up. So you're
yes. controlling. Yeah, I can drive now. Okay. So yeah, they always bring so many cool things. And I really liked that they've got this poll, you know, People's Choice vote for the things that they showed. They did a deep dive video on all of these. Like, and yeah, I think we agree we're gonna at least talk about them today from the PSA Emerge, which, you know, it's a bolt gun. Very yep. exciting. I'm really interested in their Jackal platform. I don't know like what it is exactly. But like it's an AR pattern rifle, I guess, but no buffer tube for like this Jackal 338 arc. Can I
this No, look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, really cool. I love some of the little like SBRs. I think this is actually a pistol because it looks like it's got a brace on it. Yeah. So you can have a nice little short barrel. They've got some shocker. They've got some cool handguns coming out. The PSA Switch is one that I'm going to buy because it's my namesake. And I can't not have a gun that doesn't have my name.
That's true.
Yeah. I also like, all right. This little 380, I don't know what it's going to cost. PSA, usually not crazy expensive. I'd love to have the 380 in my collection. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But they've got the VUK 9, VUK 9. I'm going to have to see if they've got a page on each of these. This one was definitely one that I'm interested in. I love little 9mm subguns in all kinds of flavors. Yeah. And it's got some MP5 vibes. I think it uses Evo mags. I think if I remember.
So a lot of this stuff is stuff that I'm going to be honest, only you could probably purchase and
it's true. It's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Well, no, just that's it. Yes, only yeah. you and Kyle.
And Runkle, apparently.
I didn't listen to last week. Did he get his license?
He did. He did finally get his license. That's okay. we were talking about. So a big part of why I haven't done my utilized my license more is there's some pretty strict stipulations around even storing the firearms around, like having ammunition in the same place as them, because like for the most part, you know, the film armorer's license, like you're not supposed to be using live ammo on set, right?
Yeah.
So it's a whole thing. But in the day and age of YouTube and being able to do more with that license, that stipulation probably shouldn't be there. And I know he's working at least in Alberta to try and fix that. And if he fixes that, I will make bad financial decisions.
Yeah.
I promise. Anyway, moving right on. Welcome back, Tony.
I shouldn't be bad mouthing Ontario internet too much.
Nope, you can't.
We didn't say that at all while you were gone.
Their AK-338 arc was also, I don't know. AKs are coolish. We haven't had them here. I don't get super excited about them.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah. Their X9, this like their TP9 BNT, you know, knockoff. The video of it. It's rough. Like it does. It looks like it is fresh out of the mold from Outback kind of deal. I think it's still like an early production gun, but still kind of cool thing to show off. Their Jackal Precision, which was a cool 308.
I really don't understand it.
What
isn't the X9? Isn't the debate settled for long stroke versus gas tube for precision shooting?
Oh, you're talking about the Jackal.
Precision Jackal. I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased in that way.
I think at the end of the day, like you can be precise with either, honestly. Yeah. Like I don't know if there's truly a debate on anything. Like the PSA Alcan was interesting. So this is supposed to work with their Jackal lower. So I think it's like it's an upper that
way around.
Or is it the other way around?
So
well, and I know it's a bullpup. Yeah,
it's a bullpup conversion kit for a Jackal.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's
so
that's
it would have been a prohib here.
Instantly. Yeah, this whole kit wouldn't be legal in Canada because... I guess there's no bullpups that are still legal in Canada, are there?
No.
This MSP 45 like integrally suppressed garbage rod.
The CEO. Thing,
the CEO gun. It's a single shot, like manually operated integrally suppressed pistol.
And it is improved over the European designs, as in it's a straight pull rotating, not a hand bolt rotating. So
yeah,
I guess that's something.
Sure.
Eject. All the wheel rod like parts or the BNT.
I'm gonna be honest, all kinds of laws would have to change for that gun to come here. I was actually really, really interested in, so PSA, this is right now for anybody that's we're just looking at their poll. You can go and vote on this for best of show, and you can vote for three. The Saber Lancet 50 cal was actually on my list. I love seeing some new 50 cals. Brandon Herrera just finished theirs in the last few months. But more 50 cals is better, and I don't know, more affordable 50 cals also better. If our laws change, maybe this would be a cool thing to get in the 50 cal flavor.
Dustin, did you mention their social media, as I was rudely interrupted by my computer?
You got off that they have excellent social media. I haven't really mentioned it more than that.
Oh, Adriel is saying the PR57 was magical. That's the Kel-Tec gun we covered last week. But I believe there, it's interesting for Kel-Tec, go watch the video from Slamfire Radio, of course, and TFB TV Showtime.
Yeah.
I believe they have live fire footage of it, and it is now made in a different factory, still owned by Kel-Tec, but they spun up a new factory in Wyoming, I believe. So I believe the PR57 will no longer be produced in Florida.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, and, Wyoming's.
Adriel got to, was that Idaho? I think it's Wyoming. Adriel actually got to hold it and load the 5.7. I guess it was dummy rounds, but it looks pretty sleek. And for your defense situation where you never really needed to reload, it's probably fine.
You know, for the places in the States that have restrictions on like detachable magazine fed firearms, like that gun's made for California and places like that, right? Yeah. It wouldn't work in Canada. We understood the lawmakers have changed it, but oh, Adriel, best feature that it's $400 US. That's an excellent feature. I think Runkle said he's going to import one. I would love to get one. That would be a cool gun to have. And for $400,
can you just buy two and then transfer one to you?
Probably. I've got to do some steps as far as like business storage here before I do any importing. So yeah, just quickly rip through the rest of these and maybe we can talk about them a little bit more. Their Thumper, their 37 mil flare launcher, which is undergun attachable or standalone, which is kind of neat. This one was weird. Their PSA 570 semi-auto. So this is like an 870 souped up to...
Not quite. Okay, let me explain, because I was following the PSA 570 pump action pretty closely.
Yep.
It is sharing the exact same receiver as the 570 pump action. It's a new gun. I don't believe it shares any parts with the A70 or the 590. It does have a 590 style hidden loading gate. It's not available yet. I don't believe the pump action is out yet either, but this would be a semi-auto conversion kit in a sense,
really,
to the pump action gun. So again, PSA is freaking pushing the envelope and challenging the Canadian legal system. I guess they will just forget everything is Crowhead, because what is this? You have a charging handle on the forearm, so you're not, it's not on the bolt itself. You are using the pump release to release the bolt on the semi-auto. It will still take a A70 stock because the recoil, it's a gas op system. It doesn't have springs in the back.
Right.
But I believe it won't take an A70 pump handles anymore for obvious reasons. So it will be a convertible, not convertible, like not the same as a SPAS 12 or a M2 where you can live switch it from semi-auto to pump, but it's at armory level, which you are the freaking armory for PSA because that's their kind of goal is build it yourself if you like to. Well, build it for you if you want to. But if you have a semi-auto because you started that way, but you wanted to pump your gun now, or you think the pump action market is a little bit more, well, the competitive scene is a little bit more competitive, swap all your stuff and you get yourself a pump action shotgun. At least that's how they told the story so far.
I'm going to be honest. Of all of the guns that they presented, this one had me probably the most perplexed, even more than the single shot suppressed 45. Just, if you want a semi-auto shotgun, buy a semi-auto shotgun.
Yeah.
If you want a pump action shotgun, buy a pump action shotgun. Those actions are tried and
true.
I
want one in two, because one serial number, I think for some locales it makes sense. Not really for Canada,
no.
Because we don't have a limit on that. I believe for some locales you have a limit amount of serial numbers you can possess at one time.
Okay, I do understand that because there are other jurisdictions where, you know, other countries where you get your firearms license and you're only allowed so many guns that year. You're only allowed so many guns on that license. And yeah, like I actually think Germany's got a graduated license program like that. And if I recall from my buddy who's going through that right now. But so I guess I get it kind of. But this is not a product that would be for me.
It's cool, though. See, Kyle was a hater, but he thinks it's interesting.
You know,
I want one.
We have different ideas of what's cool.
Yeah. What I think is cool, their PA-22, that little shorty down there, you can't tell me that's not a little sexy. You can't tell me you don't want that. I don't want that.
That banana mags. I don't like how the angle of the banana mag is so forward and the grip is so backward. The proportions cut out. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I would shoot that all day long and laugh the whole time. I would. And any 22 looks good in a Magpul stock. You know, the long sort of normal one.
That's my problem with it in this list. It's not like I don't want PSA making a 22 because it's going to be affordable. The quality is relatively going to be okay. They're going to stand by with their product. But it's not as unique as a 50 semi-auto.
I agree. But it's a different package for a different, you know, different use case, right? Like those are different ends of the spectrum completely. But the market is
more saturated. So it's not as unique in my opinion.
The market's bigger. I think the market for a semi-auto 22 is vastly bigger than the market for a semi-auto 50 cal. Like,
yeah, particularly in Canada.
Yep. Like this is a gun that we could still have here.
Again, right?
Yeah. And like, so from that aspect, and like you said, from like an affordability point, I think that's cool too.
They make cheap firearms. They do.
Inexpensive.
And they're not, they're affordable. How's that thought?
That's
so
good.
Affordable and the quality is okay-ish.
Okay-ish. Yep. Right along the lines of some, you know, price point Canadian manufacturing.
Correct.
So. I never had a jam on that PSA AR-15. Just saying. It was very reliable.
That's fair.
They are. Like, you're not getting the trifecta per se, but it's close.
Yeah. I just don't think that they deserve that much hate, so...
I want that 50.
We've all heard the story.
Okay, let's put it this way. You can pick, because you can vote between the 50 or the 22. Which one do you want more?
I want the 50 more.
Yeah, there you go. See, like I can build a Brownells 22 if I have to. If I want,
hang on.
Where am I going to get my cheap 50?
I want to know what the price point is going to be on that 50 cal, and
that's true.
I don't want the first generation of it either. I want somebody to blow it up before I buy one.
Scott, Kentucky Ballistics.
No, I am always a little apprehensive around like a new 50 for reasons. And there's a reason that I didn't buy that really inexpensive single shot one that came to Canada.
The Serbo or the... Is it a bolt or is it a screw?
No, it was that... I think it was that bolt one that went attached to a 50 or to an AR... It was like a Canada ammo one. I don't remember what it was making it. Yeah, it was like made in China. It was a China gun.
One made in China.
Yeah. And I think somebody blew one of those up. And I know somebody's blown up that screw cap Serbu before. And I'm not interested in either of those.
No, but here's actually my thing against the 50. I would rather see. Let me share my screen.
Sure. Okay. I won't do the music. We'll get canceled.
So here's the list. I would rather see a bolt action with ejector, but magazine is optional. 50. So what I want to see is a Norain UIR but improved. Currently, the UIR. If you want to watch a video on it, Brandon Herrera. He did videos about the 50 caliber pistol. They have a short one, 16.5.
Saw that.
But this uses a shell holder style bolt, as in you have to pull the whole bolt out.
Yeah, no.
Shake the round out, put a new one on there. So I want to see a sled fed single shot 50.
Tony.
If that would push
Tony.
The cost even down, ner.
Stop it.
Well, I want a 50, but I don't need a semi-auto 50.
Nobody needs a semi-auto.
Nobody needs a 50 cal almost at all. It is
but
not
that being needed. Said, if you want it, you want it. If you want something stupid, get it. I don't care. But the reality...
I want a 50 cal that doesn't cost me 10 or 12 grand. Like, I was really close to dropping 10 grand on that Serbu,
right?
Yep. I wanted it so bad. I still have pictures of it, but so like if I could get a semi-auto for $5,000, I'd drop $5,000 on a semi-auto 50. That it's because it's a gun I'm going to shoot twice a year, right? Like I'm going to take it out and maybe blast away with it twice a year.
Tony was right too. It's like it's
at that point. Why do you need a magazine, right?
$6, $7, $8 a shot, right?
Yep.
That's not reloaded. I can make it cheaper.
Well, and it takes the M107 mags. Those are $500 a magazine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I want a single shot, like sled fed with the ejectors. When I pull the bolt back, you'll launch it.
Yeah.
I'll put a new one in. I'll push it in. I'll close it.
Okay. Well, when we get 50s again, you get that. I'll get this. And we'll see who enjoys himself more.
But that's the thing. They haven't made one for me yet. I don't want the shell holder thing. That's too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's two other guns that we can talk about. The Saber 11, which I believe is a double stacked 1911 in 9mm. Great. Another 9mm, you know, 1911. And then
What? I will rock that. But I don't want it in 9mm, though.
You want it in 45. God's gun.
No, either 45 or 10, just for a competitive reason. You want to shoot major. You want to shoot major. And if you go watch 3-Gun AMAX, Adam Maxwell, on YouTube, and he will tell you how the 1911 design, well, I guess the 2011s are a little bit better in this regard nowadays because magazine geometry has been updated. But generally speaking, they prefer to feed longer rounds, designed originally for the 45. 10 millimeter, the rounds is pretty similar in length. Even the 38 Super, the cartridge overall length is pretty similar. But on 9mm on 40s, because the cartridge are usually shorter by semi-spec, they don't feed as well. So you want to play the major game. For myself, I would prefer it feeding a longer cartridge, 45 or 10 mil. 10 mil is probably more optimal. I don't have to load it too hot. It will be long enough, and it will give me, in case of we ever go without magazine cap limit, then in a competitive environment, you will have more rounds available to you.
All right. So two things. For one, you're not going to shoot a competition with a PSA handgun. You're just not.
What do you mean? I've done my black badge like that, and I won that.
But you're not gonna shoot it with a you know.
I shot the mini match with it. I won.
Okay, fair. But going forward, like when you can get handguns again, you're not gonna jump at an inexpensive handgun. You're gonna find something you really like, right?
I really like PSA as a company. They have a mission that I appreciate. They have products that have helped that. To me, seems to be of adequate quality, and they have service I really like. So I know that's a different discussion because the service was in the States, but
yeah. I
just like them in general.
So I think that people who want affordable and a gun, we can't get this stuff up in Canada right now. I'm saying right now. However, that being said, if it's not the trifecta, but it's close enough, competition is good. Entry level, it's not a freaking high point, let's be real. So
that's fair. No, I also like
on the list how many things will actually be legal here right now.
Right now,
22 different hunting rifles.
I think it's three.
Let's count the stuff that is legal.
Yeah. Hang on a sec. Let's go from the top. Legal, not legal.
Are we allowed to have 37 millimeter launchers right now?
No.
No.
It's not 40. No, it's over 20.
That doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter with the board.
No, because in the States it's 40. I got it confused. So
I have a headache.
The 570 is a maybe.
Look, the emerge is fine.
The answer is three.
The answer is three. Three of these at most. But just coming back to the Saber 11 for a moment, the thing that I appreciate is that they are jumping on the cutting out for RMR bandwagon. Like you can see it, it's got a little holosun right on there. I think reflex optics on handguns are the future.
Yep.
Makes them more better. And I do love seeing an affordable handgun with the slide like notched already out for whatever optic you want. And I think that they've got some mounting options for different things as well. So I think overall, like just as somebody who has bought so many handguns, I would definitely own that. And maybe I will, even though I'm not a big 1911 guy, I'm certainly not a big 9mm 1911 guy. But like you said, as an affordable sort of more entry level thing where maybe I would take folks out to blast away with it and not worry about it so much, that's a great gun. And then finally, my other little nifty favorite, the Jackal 9. Because I love little 9mm subguns, and this is another one of their little 9mm subguns, and they're great.
I guess it does have the benefit comparing to an AR that it does fold properly, as yes. It does not need a spring in the back end.
Yeah, I think that's their whole Jackal platform. Like, it seems like...
Yeah, long stroke. Like, I want to say SCAR-like, in a sense, sure. Maybe.
SCAR-like. You know, but yeah, I don't know. Again, everything that they've brought out, say for like, I'm not interested in the launcher. I'm not really interested in the 570. I would definitely own this MSP 45 just for the giggles. They said that the trigger in this PSA all can is good. I can neither confirm nor deny that, but I've never had a bullpup trigger be good. I had to spend a lot of money to make the X95 trigger good. I need
a definition of good. That's the question.
No, it doesn't suck.
It doesn't suck. Isn't crunchy.
It's smooth.
Yeah.
Not a lot of take up.
I want to say the RDB trigger is very smooth, but it's pretty damn long. Yeah.
So I'm curious. Let's just go down this list, both you and Kelly. Kelly first. I want to hear. So from both of you, yay or nay on each of these, if you'd be interested, if you want one, just no laws, just if you could have one, like one of those PSA emerge, is that interesting or just another bolt gun?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My list is slightly different. Emerge. There again, it runs into the same problem as the 22 is there are so many 700s out there.
Yeah.
I don't have to have a PSA 700. It could be any 700s out there. So I don't personally care about it too much.
Okay. Kelly?
Same. Yeah. I'm just going to say, you know, if you're looking for, if you could buy one, I would buy something of a little better quality. Just saying.
Yeah, I would agree. All right. What about this Jackal 338 ARC? Interesting?
Interesting, but no.
Interesting, but no. Tony?
I don't really care about Picatinny railed stock. Maybe I just haven't found one that I really like. So I will give it a no because it didn't do anything for me. A 338 ARC, in my opinion, so far still isn't proven. And another new gun stuff, actually. Magpul released a specific 6 ARC magazine for the Surefire lower receiver. Let me see if I can find that.
Well, he looks for that. I would actually agree with both of you. I'm not interested in the caliber. I think there's enough, you know, tried, true, tested calibers out there. So it's just, it would be a pass for me. Yeah. How about this Dagger Micro? You want a 38?
You know what? That would actually interest me.
Right?
It'd be great if we can conceal carry.
Oh, I know.
Right.
Tony, what about...
As a reloader, you're gonna have to kill me to get a 380.
Okay. So 380s especially are good for concealed carry. They're small, tiny.
And I'm just gonna carry a 1911. I'm gonna let the people judge. That's okay.
Okay, again, concealed carry, Tony. It's concealed.
Enough. I'm fat. It's okay. It's just me being fatter now. It's okay.
God.
Okay.
Tony's a pass. Kelly and I are definitely pro Dagger Micro 380. A little concealed carry handgun, always a benefit. And Tony, have you shot 380?
No.
Okay. That might change your mind.
Yeah. Right. Because I said, from a reloader's perspective, now I'm just, for some reason, adding something that's 9mm but not.
Yeah, you don't go out and shoot 380 all the time, by the way.
No.
You got to practice what you shoot.
But it's not a gun you want to practice like all the time.
No, but 380's got like no recoil and it's kind of fun to shoot once in a while. That's the benefit. All right, how about this PSA switch? Am I the only one that wants this PSA Glock clone?
I don't know how different it is from the Dagger right now. That's my question.
I don't know either. They put my name on it and I need it.
Fair.
Kelly?
No.
No. Okay. Fair. How about the Vuk 9? Do you want some like MP5 clone action from PSA? Mm. Oh, no.
I feel like it has it's like conflicting with its own brother, the Jackal 9. They're so similar.
Similar but different. I think it's got some character.
Fair. My problem with the sub guns right now is just like what are they really good for?
Fun.
I guess. I don't know. For fun, I want something bigger. I want to shoot bigger.
I'm going to be honest. Like, if I could have like a truck gun, or honestly, it'd be a little safe under the seat with a couple of truck guns, I would definitely have a little 9mm sub gun be part of that collection. I like the idea of something that's still in a rifle platform, but small enough and compact enough that you can move around a building with. So I don't know. I've always been very big pro, you know, 9mm sub gun guy. They're my favorite platform. I love PCCs, and I just, anything that's cool and different. And this kind of checks those boxes for me. I don't even know if it's any good, but I would own one.
If I'm in the States, you're going to see me rocking a 50 Beowulf as a truck gun. Because I can.
All right. How about this AK-338 ARC? Kelly? Oh, okay. We got one yes for Kelly. How about you, Tony?
I want it in 7.60-39 instead. Thank you very
much. You know what? That's not as common, like an AK cartridge down there, like as it is up here, right?
Yeah.
Either way, 7.62 or 5.56. Give me the original. Give me the easy to find. Again, I'm still skeptical about the ARC cartridge and what it can do. Maybe it will very much impress me in the future. But so far, I don't even know what kind of AK magazine is that.
So it's a proprietary thing because it's like it's this like they're 338. So I'm imagining it's the same, probably the same mag. No, it's not the same mag as that
one. It's definitely more straight than the. It doesn't seem as curved as a 545. It's definitely more curved than 7.62.
If I'm gonna have AK, I don't know. I don't. It doesn't do it for me. I'd rather just have like a crank AK or something like that. How about the X9? TP9 at home?
No.
Yeah, you are all about a subgun.
I normally am. The only reason I would buy this, and I've got to say, out of all of the ones that they presented, all the videos that I watched, this one was the one I was the least interested in. I thought it, like, the fit and finish looked awful. Like, it literally looked like it just came out of a mold, and it might have been the first one. Yeah, I think it might have. Prototype. So, yeah, exactly. So here's my one thing for it. I'm a giant video game nerd, and in a bunch of Resident Evil games, the TP9, BMT TP9, is in that, and it's an obscenely expensive gun. It's expensive. The mags are expensive. Everything about it's expensive. But if I wanted to cosplay Leon S. Kennedy, I would be interested in it for that as like an affordable excuse.
As a prop,
in a sense. I would buy a real gun as a prop because it's close. Like, you'd be shocked. Probably nobody. All right. Jackal Precision, Kelly?
No.
Okay.
Tony? I already had questions about the whole long stroke. Again, it's the whole Picatinny bottom thing. Maybe that's the way of the future.
It is the way of the future. But
I see that, but it's always kind of ugly. It's just there's always a flat back to your rifle, and then you're like attaching something.
If it's a PRS, I'd rather just get something that's a little bit more higher.
I agree with you. It's not on my list, but it's a cool thing that they're making. How about their bullpup, the PSA all can? No.
I would be somewhat interested just because it's one of the only firearms you can convert between a standard and a bullpup. Maybe just as a like academic exercise, as in I have the exact same gun. It's been bullpup. And then you can kind of ping pong it off A and B, as in like.
I'm wondering how many issues there are.
So many, I'm sure.
That's an academic exercise for you.
I can't imagine owning a couple of those, for academic reasons. It's a no for me, definitely. How about the CEO special over here? The MSP45. Get a yes from the crowd? No.
I think you would like it because it's unique, right?
I would.
It's rotating. No.
First, assuming PSA will be affordable enough, you can put a can on it, and I think it'll be good for hunting squirrels, maybe things like that, like dispatching animals around the house. If you're on acreage, for example.
So actually, it's funny that you say that because that was actually the use case that I saw for not dispatching animals around the house, but as like a
veterinary thing. I remember.
I was thinking like an out on the farm gun, right? Like I grew up in Saskatchewan, I'm from the prairies, and
horses or anything that needs to be put down.
Yeah, I could see it being useful for that.
Not a squirrel.
Not a squirrel. It's 45.
It's a little overkill there, Tony.
Anything
that's fair game, they cross paths with me. They don't leave,
I also, like you said, I'm a bit of a sucker for weird stuff that's like kind of interesting engineering. I would own one for the cool factor of the weird gun.
Manually operated, not a lot of things that can go wrong.
All right. Yeah. How about the Saber 50? I know I'm not alone. Kelly, you want one. You want it. Come on.
I'm going to say the weld marks is not pretty on the prototype.
No, I agree. It's not pretty.
Can we polish that out, please, PSA?
Yeah. Or, but all right, this could also, again, props guy thinking, like that could be an excuse to make it look like kind of apocalyptic. You know, you could make it look even crappier. I don't know. Just a thought. All right. So I'm alone with the 50 cal. Anybody want the thumper?
If I can have one. Yeah.
Really? I've never gotten the 37 mil, you know, flare launcher thing. I've never been interested in them.
No.
Just because I can have one.
Well, you used to be able to have one. We had them in Canada forever.
True.
But yeah, I don't know. The launchers don't interest me. We kind of talked about the PSA 570 already. Tony wants like five of these things.
I just need one if it work.
Yeah. I love that stipulation. If it works.
That's the whole thing about the 570 is you can have different barrel length and like mag tubes. So you can have like 40-inch magazine was a 40-inch barrel. That'd be great.
Fair.
You can poke the bird out of the air.
Am I the all right? So moving on. Am I the only one that wants one of these PA-22s, Kelly?
Yes, not me.
Not you. Okay. And Tony, you don't like it either.
You know what? I'm not against it. It's just I think for the voting part. What do you want PSA to prioritize? I think that's pretty low on my list. I would like one.
Talking about liking it because of the economical factor of that.
Which is fair.
1022s are pretty economical,
they're cheap.
But more economical.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just like when you start building a little shorty and like I'm looking at some of these bits and like throw a good short barrel on it and a good fixed stock, maybe upgrade the chassis. Like you can spend some money on a 1022 to build something that's pretty similar to this. And if you're going to just be planking with it, this feels like one of those things that could be economical. That said,
actually, does it have any innovative features?
I have no idea.
I would prefer the Fletcher Gunworks 1122 open top 1022.
Not familiar.
It's easier to clean.
Okay.
Check it out.
Now, Tony, I know you're all for the Saber 11 here. You'd get one of those, right?
I would. Yeah. I would rock it. I'll be. I know. I like doing these things, like rocking the cheapest gun, shooting okay. I'm not up for the podium run, but like
that's an endorsement.
That's so great. Rocking a cheap gun, doing okay.
It's not like I'm doing that well anyway, so it's okay.
Spectacular, Kelly. What about you? At the end of the day, is this something you'd have in your stable of handguns?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. Yeah. Fair. Well, Tony and I can each have one. And then you can just come shoot one when you visit.
Yeah.
All right. How about the Jackal 9? Am I the only one that likes this thing?
I think you're just really gravitating towards all the subguns.
I really am.
That's just what it is.
I know. Look, honestly, they caught my attention like when I was a kid. I love subguns in all flavors. I can't not fiddle with them when I go
But they don't go burr.
The ones I played with do, but
yeah.
Wow. But anyway, okay. Well, thank you for indulging me. It sounds like I'm the only one that wants all of these. Well, most of these. I don't want this one.
Well, the reality is, you know, people can get guns. They can buy whatever the heck they want. But
the reality is, they're probably going to be pretty affordable, so you can buy them all.
All the guns.
I'm going to say that if we can get them in Canada and things change. You never know. Apparently, a recommendation from several people today, based on some of the information about trading in the near future, is buy now, buy deep, ammo, stock it up.
Yeah.
Because it's going to hurt in a little bit.
Yeah. And
on the screen is the PMAG I mentioned. It's called a PMAG iCar, and it's supposed to be fired from the LWRCI 6.8 Magwell, apparently specifically designed for 6mm arc, which then translates to basically the entire arc family. So that will be, for example, 338 arc.
Yep.
Cool. Well, and I think we can expand on more, SHOT Show stuff in the future. We just, you know,
probably considering we have two of our co-hosts that are currently there.
I think it's going to be a couple of weeks of that conversation. So, which is the one thing is unfortunate about next episode, because it's going to be 590 and you guys aren't going to be talking about Mossberg, which lame.
Well, we could probably throw something.
They did not release a new gun. There's your Mossberg conversation.
Well.
Oh, did they?
Actually, they did, didn't they? Isn't that the
magnet? Right. They did something. The rotating safety.
Tony, your mission for next week is to go find something that's relatable and put it in the news.
Sure.
I'm sure you'll find something.
Yeah. So I think you'll find something. Thank you for indulging the PSA conversation. I wasn't planning on being in charge today. So is there anything else y'all wanted to talk about with that? Or should we move on to our listener feedback? Yes. Kelly's like, it's time for bed. All right. Tony, do we have any listener feedback emails?
Of course we do. We have an email from Edmund. Hi, guys and gal. The gal actually showed up today.
Yeah.
Well, it seems YouTube is censoring one of my comments again, so I'll resend it via email. Cool news about the FOC indoor shotgun range. If you want a peek at what it might look like, check out the TGS Outdoors, they're based in England, YouTube channel. They have a fairly recent video on shooting shotgun indoors. It was near Elm, Germany, ULM. They seem to... Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
The German, not good. They seem to be shooting sporting clays, but I'm sure ski would be in there too. I've heard about indoor shotgunning in Europe over a decade ago. They know how to build range over there, of course. And I think it's just shotgun shooting is so much more traditional, especially to nowadays the Great Britain, because Ipswich shooting is like in its shadows. I remember someone sharing a video about like the 1990s Ipswich. Was it a Worlds or like a national event in the UK? Wow, they're like drawing shooting off of a canoe or something. I was like, oh my god. Looks super.
That was
fun.
The 1990s. That was so long ago.
I know.
Yeah, probably before I was born.
I won't. Oh well, he said it, so I didn't say it.
That's
I was a 90s baby.
But the listeners won't know how old I am because I look very old.
I got all right. You know what?
Did you get carded?
I got carded. Yeah, like 2 days ago, and the guy was like, "You look way younger," and I was like, "Oh, thank you,
thank you."
Anyway, more emails, Tony.
That's the only email, but we do have YouTube comments from Eddie, as promised. Two comments. Ian makes a good point about not trusting what you heard in the media. They are more interested in getting extra advertising revenue by being sensationalized, sensationalistic, than telling you the whole truth. And I can attest, well, you know, a lot of clickbait and stuff, even on YouTube, things like that. And I can attest to his example about sometimes needing a follow-up shot when hunting. My hunting partner shot a deer in the head. Whoa, was his 338 Win Mag. That's a pretty big round. It flipped upside down, was all 4 feet in the air. I thought for sure it was dead, but it got back up. He had to shoot it again. The headshot was a solid hit, cracking the skull so badly the antlers were wobbling and bulging its eyes out of its head. Well, I guess his eyes. If I hadn't seen what happened with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. Again, shot placement, very important. Second comment from Eddie. Since YouTube is screwing up Ian's algorithms when he posts a non-legal related videos, maybe he could start up another channel for gear reviews. I was thinking about that too, and I think I might have talked to Ian about it. Maybe Runkle off the Acreage. That's how I would name it. We have two comments from the CCFR about the Purify Range Day 2025. I enjoy this so much, I share it everywhere. I think that is true. I think we just got reposted to the CCFR Facebook page for our Range Day video. And True Anarchy 2543, suppressors in Canada? No. Well, Purify Range Day, so Vegas. Yeah. Baby. That is all the YouTube comments for today.
Wonderful. Skip sponsor links. We do have an affiliate link for Cabela's and Brownells on the side of slamfireradio.com website. By using this link, you help support the show, and we'll talk about your anonymous purchases at the end of the month. Thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to support us on Player or Patreon, you can do so.
Go.
Correct. It's a broken sentence. Don't worry about it.
Go on to those apps and.
Yeah, go on to those apps and do that. That would be great.
Slamfire, and then give us your money.
Yes, we like it. It pays for the hosting for this, and that kind of covers that. Shout outs, is
the attack helicopter still a thing?
No.
We can't afford the attack helicopter. The Mounties bought them all. all right, shout outs. Kelly, you got any shout outs?
I just want to give you a shout out to Kyle and Adriel for being at Trot Show, and they're going to bring back lots and lots and lots of really cool stuff to discuss. So just wanted to say that.
Yeah, they're on location. Very much appreciated. Tony, how about you? You got shout outs?
Like last week, I'll recommend Ronco of the Bailey. It was becoming a meme last week. Go listen to last week's episode. But as Ronco has mentioned last week, no way in hell I'm going to win the most entertaining creator in the Gundies, but he did.
He did. So
he is the winner of the category most entertaining content creator, I believe is the full name. And we'll probably invite him back on the show for giving us the whole Gundy experience. That'll be fun.
Yeah. My shout out was also for Ian for the same reason. That's really awesome, dude. I hope we have you back on soon and just keep making more awesome content. Yeah. And I guess with that.
Just before you go, just a late entry from Kyle.
Oh,
we're clicking at the same. Stop it. I'm clicking. Day one overview is now posted on the Hunting Gear Guide YouTube channel. There you go.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. Now, join us on our Discord server. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now, go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.